My name is Amy, and I am a child of God rescued from many sins, including choices that I have made at times when I'm angry. Before I jump into my testimony, I want to explain that I will be trying very hard to focus on me and my anger and less on the circumstances that caused the anger. The reason for this is that I also struggle with pride and self-righteousness, and more than anything, I'd love to tell you all the reasons why my anger is justified and even, I don't know, kind of recruit you to somehow join with me in agreeing that the choices I made when I was angry was somehow understandable and maybe even acceptable. But I know my anger's justified. However, I also know that many times my lack of self-discipline when I'm angry is sinful, and that sin has caused more pain for me and my boys in addition to the divorce itself. Ephesians 4:26 doesn't tell me not to be angry. It tells me not to sin when I am angry. And so with that understanding, I will start. I was born the youngest of three girls. My parents loved me and taught me to know the Lord from a very young age. I would say my Christian walk has evolved slowly over time. Growing up, my family was in church 3 to 4 times a week, and while I can't remember a time when I wasn't aware of God and Jesus and all the many wonderful scriptures that are found in the Bible, my experience growing up was legalistic and primarily works and behavior based. Progressively, and mostly in the past 7.5 years of attending Watermark, I've been blessed to come to an understanding that I can't earn my salvation through my works or my behavior, and that salvation is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 says that it is for grace, by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. So, growing up, my parents had very high expectations. They always encouraged me to do my very best, and early on, I grew to find comfort in this system of thinking. I was a high achiever. I enjoyed achieving success and all the affirmation that accompanied it. Growing up, I achieved top awards in most things that I did, and I was driven, charming, and worked very hard at developing a well-crafted world. When I went away to college, I had in mind what this next phase in life would look like. What I wanted wasn't so much wrong, but my approach was. Although I prayed often about my future, my prayers sounded more like me informing God of the plan, but rarely considering whether this plan aligned with God's will for me. And so, as planned, before I graduated, I was engaged to the man that I would marry. He was a year older and had already started medical school here in Dallas. As soon as I graduated, I started working at a top consulting firm to support us while he attended medical school. That summer, we were married. Our early years of marriage were a roller coaster. Looking back, when I recall the moments when I felt my well-planned life was threatened, I remember my response, and it was fear. Fear that life wouldn't turn out the way I had planned, fear I would lose control of my life, fear people would think my life was less than perfect, fear of failure, fear, fear, fear. Externally, this was expressed by anger. I learned quickly that it is much more difficult to control your world when another person is involved, but I still wanted to be in control. After about 7 years of marriage, I was faced with something in my marriage that was beyond my control, and I was hurt deeper than I'd ever been hurt before. my well-planned life was failing. I didn't really know how to fail, so I decided I needed to work harder. I needed to try and control him better. I added some shaming and guilt because, as we all know, that always works. By now, we had moved a few times. We'd finished his medical training. We'd opened a private practice and had built a new home. We had three boys, and I was a stay-at-home mom. Despite all my hard work, after about another 5 years of more and more disappointments, I actually threw in the towel and I filed for divorce. To me, this was total failure realized. Over the next few years, change was inevitable. After about 8 years of being a stay-at-home mom, I needed to go back to work. There was no job market in the small town where we lived, so long story short, a friend had previously introduced me to a church in Dallas that taught grace and authenticity. After considering all my options, I felt led to move towards living where I could find healing and hope. Upon making the decision to move back to Dallas, I applied for a job at a former employer, and within a few weeks, I started a new job, moved me and my three boys, ages 9, 8, and 5 at the time, back to Dallas. Of course, true to my roots, I wanted to be the best ex-wife and the best single mom, so I forgave my ex and welcomed him to be a part of our lives and maintained a friendship with him that very few people actually understood. He later followed his boys and moved to Dallas the first year that we were here, which I can say was the best thing he's done. And no matter how I feel about him, our boys need their dad. And by the grace of God, he showed up. During those first few years of separation and divorce, anytime he would do something to hurt me, or even if my life in general had a bump, and there were a lot of those, as I'm sure you're all experiencing, I blamed him. There's a saying that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies, and that described me. Woven into my best efforts to forgive were explosions of anger. I felt it was my job, my right, to make sure he never wandered too far from his earned place of guilt and shame. He deserved to be punished, and who better than me, the recipient of his pain, to dole it out? I wanted to forgive him, but I simply was not capable of letting go of the past. Not long after our divorce was final, he remarried. This hurt, and quite frankly, I didn't like the role they appeared to think she should have in my boys' lives. Although I had grown in some areas of my life, the part of me that was angry, self-righteous, and full of pride still had a long way to go. I thought I should be able to treat my ex as I saw fit when I was angry, and I didn't want to let go of any more control than I had already lost. At times, my anger was out of control, and he finally said, enough. He cut off all communication with me. He refused to co-parent with me and stopped taking my boys to their activities during his time. The list goes on. This has made my boys' lives more difficult. And being a part of the reason for more pain in my boys' lives crushes me. Despite my knowledge of Scripture, I viewed my sin as not as bad as his. For years, my life was a roller coaster of emotions, largely fueled by anger, bitterness, pride, and lack of self-discipline. I would react to hurt, fear, and disappointment with anger. Through the ugly anger inside me, along with the other choices I've made, God has revealed to me through his word and his people that I'm a sinner who deserves nothing more than my ex or anyone else, and that I need a savior. Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. I wish I could stand before you today and tell you that everything has been resolved between me and my ex. Unfortunately, I can't. But this doesn't mean that God isn't in control. In fact, by God's grace, today the victory is that I feel less anger and more compassion towards my ex and his wife. And for now, I will trust that is what I need. Today, I experience peace because of the forgiveness I now recognize I need and have freely received. And as a result, I'm able to extend that forgiveness to others. I wish I had time to share with you all the scriptures that have taught me how God expects me to treat my ex as a Christian. Instead, I would love to share with you the following passages I've learned to apply that have been a great help to me. Matthew 5, 7, and 9 says, "Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." And later in chapter 5 in Matthew, Jesus teaches that as a Christian, I should handle difficulties different than a non-Christian. I should love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me. In Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, I've learned that I can grieve the Holy Spirit of God through my actions, and I am called to rid my life of bitterness, rage, and anger, and be kind and compassionate, and forgive as Christ has forgiven me. I believe God reveals to us the areas in our lives that need strengthening, and that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. If anger is a part of your story, my hope is that you will hear me tonight and ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your anger. I want to encourage each of you to be an example of forgiveness, be an example of Christian love that is so ridiculous, it causes others to stop and ask the source of your joy and power. If you're not a believer, I would love to talk to you after I speak tonight and share with you the freedom that's available to you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting me share.